You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 20th, 2026, and welcome to episode 196 of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the show today. On this week's episode, I'm going to be talking about Big Walk. First, though, let's take a look at the news from this week. Deus Ex creator Warren Spector is retiring from game development, stating, "It's just not as much fun for me anymore." Today's story comes from Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. In a post on his LinkedIn page, Spector stated that while he was proud of his career, he feels that he's accomplished what he started. Quote, "Let me cut right to the chase. I'm retiring from game development. At least I think so. I've been here before and changed my mind, but this time I'm pretty sure I mean it. I've had a great career. I wouldn't change a thing even if I could, but the reasons to retire are simple. I'm a month away from my 44th year as a developer. I've had the chance to work on tabletop role-playing games and board games. I've worked on more digital games than I can remember, 17 full games, I think." He goes on to say, "I feel like I've done what I set out to do. It's time to write some books, do a lot of reading, do some lecturing, maybe do some consulting." So he admits in the post that there are still several ideas kicking around in his brain for games that he would like to make, but says, "The game business has changed and it's just not as much fun for me anymore. Plus, there's a new generation of developers coming up who deserve their time in the sun." In addition to Deus Ex, the 70-year-old Spector's credits include Ultima, System Shock, Thief, and Epic Mickey, and he is considered to be a pioneer in the immersive sim genre. So, happy retirement to Warren. Go kick your feet up and relax for a little while. Difficult to talk about Big Walk too much specifically. It's the latest game from House House, creators of Untitled Goose Game, and I found that much of the fun and enjoyment that I've had with it comes from figuring out how the game works. It really gives you very little information in the beginning other than the most basic controls. So you jump in and you figure stuff out as you go. Going in completely blind, I think, is the best way to approach this game, but that makes it a somewhat difficult game to talk about or to recommend. So I will try to keep things as vague as I can, but again, the less you know, the better. So it's basically an exploration game for up to, I think, 12 players. I don't think there's an option to play solo, and honestly, you wouldn't want to. The entire experience is built around teamwork and cooperation. In fact, I think the more people you get involved in the game, the better. I first started out playing with just Charlie and I, and it was fun. It was okay, but we both decided that we needed to get Sam involved and start over. I think three players is probably, I think like the minimum to really start to get the full experience. They also make a point right away from the beginning to tell you that you should not communicate with any of the other players outside of the in-game chat. Don't be in the same room. Don't be on a group call. Don't be on FaceTime. They want you all to be on your own and using your headsets to communicate, which, you know, is like, you know, that might not be easy for everybody. To say that your game isn't playable solo, you need several people online to play and you all need to be able to have headsets to communicate. I think that's, you know, that may exclude some people from checking this game out. I don't hold that against them. You know, that's the vision for the game that they wanted to make. So, you know, it is what it is. So I bought the game 3 times. thankfully, it was on sale for, I think, $15 on launch day for Steam. Sam and Charlie each went to their rooms to play on their laptops, and I downloaded the Switch 2 version, which, by the way, I think visually isn't quite as impressive as the Steam version, the PC version. The game begins by dropping you all into this little training hub. There are drawings on the walls to tell you what the basic controls are, and a bunch of props and like obstacles to play around with before you set out. Everything controls well enough, and you know, it's fairly basic: jump, crouch, sit, grab, and you can use the shoulder buttons to point your arms in different ways and directions as a sort of non-verbal means of communication. Right off the bat, though, we were having some issues. Voice chat would cut in and out. We would see our characters' mouths. I think it's actually their, noses that get bigger and smaller when you talk, but we could see that moving, but it would drop like every other word we were saying. So we ended up kind of breaking their communication rule right off the bat and got on a group call, because I mean, if we can't talk to each other, we can't play the game. And that was working fine. We ventured out of the lobby area and into the open world. Like I said, they give you no indication of what you're trying to do or where you're trying to go. You just kind of wander until you come across something and kind of intuit what you need to do, which is cool. I kind of love that. You know, it's just saying, hey, just go figure it out and do your thing. We came across the first couple of puzzly sections and figured them out pretty quickly. They weren't that complicated. But when we got to something that was a little bit more tricky, we realized how the game was very much designed for close proximity chat. Without saying how it worked specifically, the puzzle was designed in such a way that being able to just freely speak to each other no matter where we were, because we were on a phone call, it kind of broke it a little bit. It didn't ruin the experience, but it did diminish it a bit, I would say. And it showed that they really want you to be playing by their set of rules. They did release a patch which fixed the kind of broken chat, so we decided to try again with our headsets. After all, we want to play the game, you know, the way they intended it, if possible. And it was working better. But the problem is that even when it's working as intended, the range of the proximity chat is limited. It's only like, you know, like in-game, I would say like 10 feet. So you gotta communicate and stay close to the other players, or it's really easy for someone to wander off and get separated from the team. And this might not be as much of an issue with like a larger group of people, but with 3 of us, it was very easy to lose sight of someone and not be able to hear them, which honestly got kind of frustrating. Aside from those communication issues and limitations, I think it's a fun experience to just hang out with friends and explore and do some light puzzle solving. Nothing we've seen so far has really tested our brain power, but we've discovered some cool secrets, and hopefully they throw a little more challenge at us later in the game. Honestly, like the biggest challenge so far for me is just being able to convince two teenagers to hang out with me and play a game at the same time. So I haven't gotten as far in the game as I wanted to before recording this episode. But with Charlie leaving for college very soon, this might become the game that we regularly play together over the course of the school year to just catch up, hang out, and chat. If we can hear each other, that is. There is very little in this world that I find to be more excruciating than the process of buying a new vehicle. It is absolutely the worst. I dread that more than a colonoscopy. Swear to God. A lot of it stems from my anxiety. You know, I've talked before on this show about how I grew up, you know, pretty poor, so I always have an overwhelming sense of panic whenever I have to spend a lot of money. It doesn't matter how much money I have saved up on hand at the time. I could be a millionaire and I would still probably freak out if I had to spend a good chunk of money. And a car is like one of the biggest purchases that you will make in your life. And that's a lot of pressure. So my wife, she's needed a new car. So on Saturday, we went out to test drive the car that she's had her eye on for a while. And we both really liked it, so we decided to get it. And I don't know why this is always the way that it is, but we were at that dealership for 4 freaking hours. I mean, it is just a ridiculous amount of time. You know, after you test drive it and you decide that you like it, then you know, they've got to tell you about all the options. You know, do you want the heated seats? Do you want the power lift gate, the sunroof? They even tried to pitch us on, and I kid you not, nanotechnology on the windshield to reduce glare. Bitch, I am not Tony Stark. I do not need nanotechnology on my windshield. Then you have to go through all the finance options, of which there are a lot. And we were going to put down a payment on the car, a down payment, but you're only allowed to put a certain amount of that down using a debit card. So then I had to get my car and go find an ATM and get out cash to cover the rest of it. And then you have to go through like the whole credit check process, which is crazy stressful unless you happen to have perfect credit. Most people do not. And then you have to sign a million forms with this guy who for some reason decides that he needs to share his entire life story with you, even though you've been there for 4 hours and had nothing to eat at all that day except half a bag of Chex Mix, and you just want to go home with your new freaking car. It was exhausting. I hated every second of it. But we got the car and it's neat. And my wife is happy. And it has little cameras all around the exterior that monitor any vehicles around you. And it beeps if they get too close to you. And it shows you all of this on this little 3D animation on the dashboard. So like, maybe it is a little bit like being Iron Man. We named the car Jarvis. Thank you for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, I'm John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and be kind to one.